Father, we're grateful for this great country, and Father, we pray that you continue to bless this country. Amen. Father, we pray for all the nurses and doctors and the ones on the first, on the line that helped through this pandemic. We're grateful for the police officers and firefighters and EMS. Father, we pray that you'll be with them and keep them safe. Also grateful for our military, our men and women who serve here. And Father, we pray that you'll be with them and keep them safe also. Father, it's sometimes we do fall short, and Father, when we do, we pray that you'll forgive us for that. We're grateful that Jesus is there to forgive us. Father, we just thank you for everything you do for us, and Father, we pray that you continue to bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's good to see everyone this morning.
Amen.
Let's open our books to number 597. 597. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen. All his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine all my beings refine. Let the
Praise him, O ye heavens.
fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens are, kings of earth and all ye people, princes
to those who have not been present with us. Each one of the bread items is contained in the container like the juice would be contained. There's a single one in each one, so just take the container up and use it. And then if you would, put it in your songbook rack for later on to be put in the trash.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best
received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Before we take the Lord's Supper, I will repeat what Robert said, and it's simple as this. Take your cup out of the container. We won't put it back in. You'll keep your own cup. And then at the end of services, the cups that are collected, and you can put them in the pew behind you, take them and throw them away, and nobody will touch anything that we have. Let us pray. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we go back to the cross in our minds, we see your Son and our Savior there on the cross, suffering not for what he did, but for the sins that we committed in our lives as well as those in the past. Father, we look to him for our salvation. We look to him as the love that he gave to us in giving this life for us. Help us to examine ourselves as we partake of this loaf, which represents that body that hung on the cross. And Father, help us to partake of it in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which brings to our minds the blood that was shed upon that cross. Again, Father, we are grateful to your Son who died on the cross for us, that shed his blood that through him we might have salvation. Help us again, Father, partake of mine and be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion has ended. We now have an opportunity to give back to the cause of the work here in this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing you give us every day. For the income that we have, Father, we are so grateful that we're able to give back to you, that the furtherance of your work can be done not only here at this place, but even throughout the world. Thank you for your blessings, and may we return ours in a cheerful manner that will be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have 18 present this morning. Today is May 10th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 692, 692 would be a song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 426. 426. Praise Him,
praise Him,
Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His exalted greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus of crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love abounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Don't bother me. The study underway today is a study of which we have many, many references in the Old and New Testaments of our Bible. The purity question. Being pure before God. Being pure in regard to the worship of God. Things like that are a part of the whole of the Bible in regard to this matter. It is the case that as we read along in the scripture about this, we read 42 times that gold is pure, because it is obviously purified by the process by which gold itself is derived. And as a result, gold is set forth 42 times in our Bible in regard to purity. Religion is said to be pure in James 1 at verse 27. When we practice pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit or care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This congregation has a record throughout the years. I published a few weeks ago about the congregation having its participation with the television ministry in Jackson. Though the congregation here did not receive that particular telecast, it was a mission work that was being done for the hundreds and thousands of people that live in that part of the state that have no knowledge of the church at all.
Many people were converted, and I listed in that particular article the two people that I had met that had been converted as a result of that, restored to the work of the Lord from that, and days gone by. That was a pure religion being practiced by keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. We were teaching people the Word of God and the Word. Now, in regard to this congregation and its participation with widows and those that are orphans, it has a record all the way back from the very beginning of time in regard to this congregation. And all the people who were involved with it were involved with seeking out to help those who were described as being pitiful in God's sight, and how God loves that and called it pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, is this: to visit, to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There are some widows that inherit a great amount, and as a result, they don't have the affliction, difficulty that others may have. But there are many more that have not that benefit, and as a result, they need the help and care of those who practice pure religion. So practicing pure religion is a way to do in life. Think about the description of purity in regard to God himself when God spoke regarding his own hair in Deuteronomy 7 at verse 9. He talked about his hair being as pure as the wool. And to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, he talked about how our sin can be made that way, as white as the snow. And so it is the case that God loves the concept of purity. Go with me now, if you would please, to the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, in this matter, we read some things in regard to the people of God and how they were to worship God under that old law. Leviticus chapter 16 talks about this in a great deal, great sense. The Lord, Leviticus 16:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. You remember the case of Leviticus 13, how that the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, found themselves offering a strange fire with their sacrifice unto the Lord, which the Lord God commanded them not. The Lord had specified the type of fire origin to be done, and they had not practiced that. As a result, the fire consumed them, and they died. This is a reference back to that time when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now here's the Lord God of heaven commanding in regard to Aaron's situation. And would Aaron just forget all about what God has said and come and do the acts of worship himself and find himself in death? And he didn't want him to do that. And so Moses tell Aaron this about this matter: I will come and I'll be there at that mercy seat. I'll be there at that ark. Now, the idea of this in the place of the tabernacle was the inner holy place, the most holy place, and as a result of once a year going into that, offering sins for the people, offering remission of sins for people by way of the sacrifice of blood, Aaron would do this. Now Aaron is being told regarding this holy place and how he is to be a pure person as he is in this holy place. Verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with the young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself, and for his house. Notice what he was to do with that bullock. He was to make a atonement, making himself righteous before God, forgiven of God for his own sins. Then he was to offer for the people as they had brought the sacrifice to be done. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented live before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. He was to be sent away. The scapegoat was to be sent away. You keep in mind the idea of Jesus and his time of crucifixion, how he was led outside the gate onto the hill of Golgotha for the crucifixion to take place. He was the actual person in which God had placed his plan through the prophets through the years, that he would bear in his own body our sins, and by his blood being shed, we could be cleansed fully and completely of our sins. We could be pure before God. Otherwise, we would live and die within our sins and never have an opportunity to be with God in heaven. As we continue on in regard to this matter, notice verse 15 of Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy's feet and before the mercy seat. He shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. We're talking about the Lord God of heaven wishing to have there to be purity there involved. If you go with me to the 24th chapter of Leviticus now, you'll see something else in regard to this matter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually. Pure olive oil. There was to be no corruptness within that olive oil. Within the veil, without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. And he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenths deals shall be in one cake. Describing the idea of the amount of bread that would be there. The tenths are said historically to be in reference to our quarts. There would be 2 quarts of this to be put together for the bread. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenths deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt eat them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, set them in a row, 2 rows, upon the pure table before the Lord. Notice the pure. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each robe, that it may be the bread for the memorial, even an offering made by the fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. It shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. Notice the process of becoming pure and making this pure. He would make it also to be the idea in God's mind, in God's seeing it. It would be most holy unto the Lord. Would it be the case that as Timothy is told by Paul to be an example, a tupas, that coin that would be made in that image that was in the tupas, in the circuit of that particular item, as that molten was put into, that metal was put into that, once cooled, bringing it out, that would be the image reflecting upon that side with the tupas. And he's saying to Timothy, go forth and be an example. Be a tupas to the believers. Every one of the believers is supposed to live this way, and you're to teach people to live this way and practice this way in life. In the words that you say, in your conversation, in your manner of life that you walk, in your charity, in your love, charity, the love that you have, is to be pure. It's to be this way. It's to be the tupas. It's to be the example that everybody practices their love, their manner of life, and their words in this way. The last three things of those six items in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, are things that deal with, a lot of times, what's inside of each one of us. One cannot exactly see the faith that we have, except we demonstrate that faith by the things that we say and by the things that we practice in life. If we say that a faith should be exhibited and we do not then show an example of that faith being exhibited in our lives, others, all others around us will know that we're not that pure. Wonderful it is to have a family. A family that by way of parents set forth a way of life that has this tupas as your example in life. As a result of mother and father showing that way of life. And I thank the Lord that both my mom and my dad did that very thing. They demonstrated that church was first. The worship of God was first. And whatever plans and whatever activities we were to be put as much humanly possible on hold. Not only during the Sunday services of the church, but also during the gospel meeting activities, Bible lectureship activities, things like vacation Bible school activities, they were to be put first in our plans. As a result of being put first in our plans, things that were otherwise to be done would be pushed aside. They would be made arrangements for earlier in the day or later in the evening. When this event was going on with the church of the Lord, it was to be put there first in our lives. As a result of this, Paul says your faith, your spirit, your way that you manifest your life, your zeal for this. Oh, I hate to do this, but it's ordered of God. I hate to do this because it's just something that is so detailed and so example. I hate to do this. That should not have been the attitude of the people back in the book of Leviticus. God would tell them that their heart needed to be involved in this matter and that they needed to seriously do this as a purity before God and a holy of holies ways of doing this before God. No doubt they found themselves not that way. Some of them did find themselves doing that, and they were rejected by God over and over again. Let us be people then who in our ways of life provide an example for others in things that we, the things that we say, the ways that we practice life, the way that our love is demonstrated to our children and to others in our family. We're to be people who in the spirit find ourselves enjoying a way of life and a way of doing this in a good and godly manner. And what is the last note that he gives there? Pure. Be an example of that which is pure. In your pure conduct in life, be an example of that. So that people will see that this is the way God would have us to live, all of us to live, and the way that God would have us to behave and do. If we find ourselves in purity that way, we find ourselves in the way that God would have us to be. Now it takes for you and me, everybody, it takes a reassurance. The idea of doing that and children growing up do not understand all that's involved in this, how God looks at these particular matters. And so it may very well be that they need reassurance. And in the Bible, that particular topic is talked about over and over again. Back in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, we read of the assurance that God gives to the people that although they have failed to do His will, He will forgive them if only they would turn from their sins of robbing God. If they'll turn, He would reward them and bring them blessings that would fill up the storehouses that they built running over. The reassurance of God is set forth there in Malachi 3. It is the case that Jesus himself reassured his disciples in John 14 when he said, I'm going to go to the Heavenly Father. I'm going to prepare a home for you. And this would be a reassurance for anyone who's following him. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare this place for you. We're reassured that that is the case for our lives. As we live in a time where things are dangerous and troubles and difficulties, we'll live in a place where this has been put aside. What a blessing it'll be. And then when you get over to 1 Timothy 2 and at 2, Paul writes to Timothy, the things they have heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm grateful that someone taught Paul Sparks, and that Paul Sparks in turn came to be my friend and taught me. I'm grateful some man taught that man, that taught him, that he taught me, that hundreds of people in my lifetime have been taught and obey the gospel. So it is the case that reassurance of God's word and God's way is to be done. And you know, it says there in Hebrews 3:13, verses 1 and 2, that even in doing this kind of conduct in our lives, we may entertain angels unaware. The Hebrew writer tells us of angels who will come and help in our daily walk of life. What a wonderful thing it is. Since today is a Mother's Day and Mother's Time, it's a good point to be made. Not too many years ago, I ran across an old poem and a statement made about mothers that I close with today to offer this invitation to anyone who needs to obey the Lord today. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of mountain dew, the calmness of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, and the grace of birds in flight, the tender care of an angel, the faith of mustard seed, the patience of an eternity, the depth of a family's need. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other. And when his masterpiece was through, he simply called it my mother. How thankful I am for her today and for all of you. Song of invitation provided. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, it's a good time to begin this way of life called the way of purity. As we stand together, let us sing.
Sing on the portal, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Again, thank you all for being here today. God, do not shake your hand today. Be aware of the fact that we'll shake it twice when we get to later on. God bless you, everyone.
Let's turn to number 238. 238, and after this song, James, would you be just in prayer?
I believe in the one day called Jesus. I believe that I was born in Galilee. I believe that he walked on the water. And I believe that he's the answer for me. Yes, I believe.